And it is time to check in with Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. Now, you could say elections are right around the corner, Tuesday, November 3rd, but they're actually here right now. People are voting. You can vote early at your courthouse. You can mail in your ballots. Welcome, Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. Thanks for being back with us.
Well, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Definitely appreciate it.
Well, let's talk about elections. There's been so much questioning, certainly in national media, statewide media, as more and more people across the country, across Minnesota, are voting by mail because of COVID-19. Are you confident in our election system in Minnesota?
Yes, I am. I am very confident that our elections are secure, they're safe, they have a lot of integrity. I went to court to try to protect the mails, and we won in court in three different court jurisdictions. So we have made sure that the mails are moving quickly, that there's enough sorting machines, that the mail workers have enough overtime to get the mail where it's supposed to go. It's going to be fine. And I would say to people that voting by mail is a good option because, COVID really has taken its toll. You know, we're over 210 people who died as a result of it. And it's a good option for you. Now, if you want to vote in person, that's fine. You can do that. But vote by mail actually reduces the line that you're going to have if you decide to vote in person on November 3rd. And as you correctly pointed out, you can go in today and vote. So doing everything we can to safeguard democracy, even in a pandemic.
Keith, this is John Bauer. Speaking of voting in person, some people think there may be some voter intimidation going out there on Election Day. What do you feel about that?
Well, I just want everybody to know that I'm looking into it and I'm making sure that everybody can vote free of fear. I don't anticipate there's going to be any problem. We have had some calls, and I do want everyone to know that we're looking into it. And we're making sure everyone knows that both federal and state law prohibit voter intimidation. You got to stay 100 feet away from the polling place. Police do not show up to the polling place unless needed because of an incident. If anybody who's not a police officer shows up and is exhibiting threatening conduct, the police will show up. What we ask for people is to just let's decide this in the ballot box. Let's not on the streets. You know, that's what democracy is all about. We feel very strongly. Some of us really, really, really favor one position. Some of us really, really oppose that position. But what we do in the United States, cast a ballot, whoever wins, wins. And we know there's going to be another election. And that's how we do it. And I think that that is what I'm counseling people to do. But in terms of the stories about intimidation, we're on it. We're working it. We're making sure they're going to be safe and free of any kind of worries.
So do not be intimidated. Get to the polls or vote early. That was in all capitals. Could you tell as I said that?
Yeah. Way to go. I will just tell everybody that all of the social distancing and mask requirements maintained during the election. And I just want to sympathize with people and say, I can't stand wearing a mask, but I wear it because I know it's going to save somebody. So they are in place. I do sympathize that they're a hassle, but they're less of a hassle than contracting COVID. So just want to tell everybody that, too.
Yeah, and you've dealt with it firsthand. You lost your mom during this pandemic.
Yeah. True. Very true.
It's Minnesota.
Very true.
Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. So have you always been someone who votes? Do you remember the first election you voted in?
Yeah, I remember going down there with my mom before I was even old enough to vote. And she said, this is the ballot. Here's how you do it. And I expect you to do this. This is what we Ellisons do. And that's what my mom told me at the age of around 12. So I really couldn't wait to vote when I got 18. I remember my daughter turned 18. It was sort of a thing. I think that night we kind of had a cake for her since it was her first time voting. And, we kind of turned it into a family thing. And I urge other people to do that. Take a picture of your 18-year-old when they vote for the first time. You know, put it up, you know, frame it, you know, and turn it into a family tradition. It's a good idea.
Yeah, I like the idea of that. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some of the, this isn't exactly what you do, but about some of this misinformation. So I've been working on candidate interviews for the last month or so, and I've talked with over 40 candidates that are running for office across Minnesota and northern Minnesota. Some of the candidates there have cited their concern over a cash for ballot harvesting that they're connecting to Representative Ilhan Omar. Didn't take long for me to fact check that, to find out from many sources that this isn't true, but could you talk a little bit about that kind of disinformation that's out there?
Yes. Look, I want to promise everybody on air that if I find any evidence that somebody is voting illegally or promoting some sort of illegal practice, I will work with county attorneys and the Secretary of State, and we will hold them accountable. But we simply haven't found that story to be true and accurate. It's a group called Project Veritas. They do this. This is kind of what they do. And many of the people who were in the video have already backtracked and withdrawn their statements. The point is that it's just sort of, it's like internet nonsense is really what it is. And one of the things that we have to just deal with in this information age, it used to be we didn't get enough information. Now we get too much, right? And so we can hardly get through it all and don't know what to believe. But no, that was a false story and not worthy of your attention.
Do you think that race or religion play into these kind of disinformation?
Yes. Look, in the United States, we are a great, good people. But we have a history that involves Native Americans, African Americans, Jim Crow, all that. That's been there, and we know that. And our people have very gratefully overcome some of the ugliest aspects of our history. And there's no people on any part of this planet who don't have history where some people were treated with a lack of fairness. That's just a human condition. But what I will say, though, is that sometimes those ancient prejudices and assumptions about people can get agitated, right? And so some of us will jump to conclusions based on lack of information about folks. And I would say always question that assumption and dig in and get information and ask yourself, am I kind of making assumptions about folks who I don't know very well? And ask yourself that, because a self-inventory sometimes can get you on the right path.
I wonder if we can talk a little bit about some of the public gatherings. Earlier this week, the Star Tribune reported on a Trump rally where Eric Trump was in Northfield, and they were kind of talking about this. Republicans not being happy with how your office was dealing with this. Can you give us the story there?
Well, let me start out by saying the pandemic is a pain in the neck to everybody. We want to gather. We want to go to restaurants. We want to do these things. And I want to do these things. But the executive orders say that we have to have social distancing requirements, not to hassle people, but to try to protect life. Now, my office never tells people you cannot have your meeting. But we do tell them there are time, place, and manner requirements that you have to meet in order to protect and preserve life. We apply these equally to everybody. And this was a routine call that one of my assistants made saying, do you have your COVID preparedness plan? We do this every day and all the time. We do it to everybody. We don't care about the politics of it. We're just trying to make sure that people don't get sick. And because we know if you get sick, not everybody gets sick will die, but some will. And we want to preserve that. So, look, the chairperson of the Republican Party wrote me a letter. I do intend to respond, but I just want to let everybody know there's no politics in this. It's only about protecting people from the virus. And we're not stopping anybody, but there are certain requirements, information sharing, that we are obligated to ask for. And that's just the way it is. And If the executive orders go away, I'll stop. As long as they're there, I'm supposed to enforce them, and I'm gonna.
You know, the governor is getting a lot of flack for this kind of stuff, too, when it comes to restaurants and bars. And I know, you know, there's a lot of people are, they want to support their local businesses, but if they walk into a restaurant or a bar and they don't see masks, they're not happy. They want their community to be safe, and they're reporting that kind of thing. But, you know, it's gotten political, and people think that this is just the governor, like, wanting to make money off of restaurants and bars and slapping fines on them. Can you tell us a little more about that aspect of it?
Let me just say, the last thing anybody wants to do is slap a fine on anybody. And I will tell you, and I will want all your listeners to know, that overwhelmingly people try to comply. They want to. They're like, are we doing this right? We get calls from businesses all the time saying, we want to comply. Now, as I read this, it requires this and this and this. Do I need to do this? Do I need to do, oh, I don't need to do that. Oh, I do need to do that. And so we're trying to help people get through the process, but we're not trying to get a fine. We're trying to gain compliance so people can survive. That's it. Now, the governor is watching this stuff, not day by day. He's watching it hour by hour. And I promise you, if we can loosen restrictions, we will. But the numbers aren't showing that. But when they do, we will. You know, and I just think it's really important. I'm advocating support for our restaurants. You know, I think they should get supports during this very difficult time, this once-in-a-100-year kind of crisis, you know. We should do that. I'm hoping that they can develop their takeout business more. I know a lot of businesses have done that. It's starting to get cold, but I actually had breakfast with somebody at a restaurant, and I had to keep my coat on because it was just that cold. But the business said, look, you know, we're going to stay open as long as people will eat outside. So I'm sympathetic, and we really want to help. We don't want to shut anybody down or close anybody down. But we need to protect and preserve life. Now, if somebody believes it is their constitutional right to spread COVID, I don't agree with that. The law doesn't agree with that. And we have won every single case we've gone to court on. But we haven't had to go much because most people just work with us.
Well, before we go, we can give you a little bit of advice. We were doing some hard-hitting journalism earlier this morning. John was wondering if he should buy some of those Carhartt coveralls because of the cold. Our listeners overwhelmingly said yes, so this might be a good thing for you to stay warm as well.
But you have to tell them there's two different types. One is you're working under the car one, Keith, or the other one is black going to town one. It's, you know, it's just a kind of a flat black color. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that I need to make a bold fashion statement when I go into town. So I'll try to see if I can save up money for two kinds.
And one more thing. Change is happening so fast. We always ask you when we have a conversation with you what you're listening to. What are you listening to now? Can't be the same as last time.
No. I am listening to... what have I listened to today? I was listening to reggaeton music to my workout.
Oh,
you know that kind of it's
reggaeton?
Kind of really
reggaeton.
I was listening to reggaeton. Huh. This is, look it up, man. This is good stuff.
Okay.
I don't know if you know. Hang on a second. Hang on. Let me just see if I can get some reggaeton for you.
Okay. Yeah, we got it.
Is it reggae on the Peloton? Is that?
No.
It's like reggaeton. Reggaeton.
Okay.
You ever heard of this stuff?
No.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're trying to work out, it is good stuff.
Okay.
So, all right, go for it.
We've been hearing it's Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. If you have questions or complaints, you can always call his office, 800-657-3787, or look for the website online. Reggaeton, is it coming?
Let me see if I can get you some reggaeton.
We asked
a lot. Okay, here, I got it for you.
Okay. All right.
Okay, here we go.
Coming up, we're going to be talking to Mr. Jeff Foster. He is the AP government teacher at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. He's got a new book on government. We'll continue this conversation about voting and our history in our country.
I'm feeling this isn't very good music to work out in.
You know, I can't get the sound of my computer very loud.
Okay.
Anyway.
We'll look it up. We'll get it for you the next time. Thanks so much.